Thank you, Pastor Ryan. It is so true, though, isn't it, that the gospel is at the center of all what we're about. The gospel that we heard and we received and we believed, and the reason we gather here for worship and praise and learning the Bible is so that we can tell other people and show other people by our lives that there's good news in Jesus Christ. And it's great that we have a team, a missionary team, that's going to the Philippines. And so again, there's that aspect of the gospel of us purposely sending people out to share the gospel. And we've had this vision of taking it to the countries of the world, the nations of the world. So I'm going to ask the Philippine team, and Alan, why don't you come and just tell us a little bit about your mission, and then we'll ask the elders and staff and just come and we'll lay hands on the team. Ryan stole it. Thanks.
Thank you. We'll be visiting the Philippines for 3 weeks. This is my 8th trip there, so I'm no stranger to the country, but a number of our team members are going for the first time, so continue to pray for them, or pray for me too, because I'm very accident prone. And I've cracked my ribs on 3 different continents over the past 8 years, here, here, and here. So I need to go to Africa or Australia and finish the job off just here. So I'm planning that as we speak. We're going to be going to 2 different places. We're going to Manila. In Manila, we're going to be working with the kids ministry there at the church, New Hope to Asia. About 300 to 400 kids go there every Saturday morning. They've been doing this for 7 years, and now there are about 60 youth that have come through that and become Christians, and we're going to be teaching the youth and encouraging them. And then we go to San Pablo, and in San Pablo, we're going to be doing various things. We're going to be visiting the prison there, hospital visitation, praying for the sick, visiting the garbage dump where just in the last 6 or 9 months, they've built a church there, and it's really growing and thriving, so we're thrilled about that. We're going to be doing a teaching convention for the team that works with Jeff Pacina, about 105 people. We're going to be teaching them on the whole question of team, aspects of team. Back in Manila, too, we're going to take the youth on a youth convention for 2 or 3 days down to the beach and be teaching them. And so beach missions are a wonderful thing. I've always said so. We should be more of beach missions, I think, don't you? Yeah, amen. So next time we announce a beach mission, I'm sure I'll have a bigger team. But if we could call the team up here, and just so I don't forget, immediately after the end of this service, could all the people that are on this team please meet me at the back where that table is, where the offering envelopes are kept. There's some things I need to give you and some information I need to let you know. After the baptism, yeah. Is the baptism the last thing that's happened today? Okay, after the baptisms, then, if you could meet me at the back there. Thank you, Bill.
We'll ask the team to come forward, would you? And we'll have you just stand up here, and then we'll ask the elder staff and to come and just lay hands on them. And if you want to be involved, we'll ask you just to extend your hand towards them as we commission them, pray for them.
Three or four team members aren't here. They're already going to be in Calgary for leaving tomorrow. Julie Kissick, who you may know, Ken and Julie Kissick, run Streets Alive. Julie Kissick's decided to come. So we're excited about that. And there's Jessica Engler, Simon Gollum's girlfriend from way up north. Jessica's here. Oh, awesome. Good go, Jessica. So there's some others here, a couple of others that aren't here. So it's 13 of us in all, but we're not superstitious, so that's okay.
Let's pray for them. And we'll ask the elder staff, if you'd like to pray, just look towards me and I'll let you have the mic.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Father, for these group of people that have committed themselves, Father, to go into the uttermost parts of the earth, to minister your gospel, to minister your word. So, Father, we just pray that, God, that you would go with them and move, God, with signs and wonders, Father. And, Lord, that many would come into the kingdom because of their obedience. And, Lord, you said by the obedience of one, many would be made righteous. And so, Father, we just thank you for that. We just thank you for their obedience and their submission to you. Father, we pray a hedge of protection over them. Protect them as they go. Keep them safe, Father. And may they come back, Father, enthusiastic, Father, about the next venture that you'd call them on. So, Father, bless them and keep them. And we thank you for them, for each one. And we just give you all the honor and glory, God, because they are your faithful servants. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Lord, I just pray that each one of these kids would know what it is to be alive in the Holy Spirit as they go. Pray that you would give them gifts that they have not yet experienced, and that there would be an enthusiasm and a total lack of fear in their lives and in their hearts as you lead them into unknown things, that this would be such a big step up for them. They would just not come back the same because you as the Holy Spirit, you as the Lord of the earth have taken these young men and young women and equip them in a special way to impact the land of the Philippines. In Jesus' name.
Yes, this is not more of a prayer, but it's also a declaration over you too. I was reminded of a chorus that we sang probably 15 years ago or so in church, but it's based on Psalm 2 and on Isaiah 6. And it's, ask of me and I will give the nations as an inheritance for you. And then the Isaiah part was, here am I, send me.
Just to let you know that Jenny Benner's coming. She's not here. She's in Calgary. Julie Kissick. Who else is missing from here that we just need to keep in our prayers while we're gone? Tiffany Hazel. That's probably it, is it?
Mallory.
And Mallory. Okay, we'll pray for her right now. One of the team members is just at the hospital because she's sick. Lord, we just lift this team up to you. Lord, that they'd function as one unit. And Father, just that they would go in the strength and the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, knowing that there's a body at home that supports and backs them. Lord, with a firm foundation, you can jump so high. And so, Father, I ask that the heights that they would reach on this mission would change that city. That would change the lives of those children. Father, that they would have a direct experience with your Spirit. Lord, that these kids would find in the eyes of this team a love that penetrates the hardest hearts. A love that reaches past poverty and brokenness and restores who they are in their heart. It just restores them to who they're called and meant to be and to walk in you, Lord. Father, let your Spirit rest on them with such power and such anointing that the lame would walk, the hard hearts would be softened. Father, that your Spirit would do the work by your grace. By your grace, Lord. And so, Father, we lift up Mallory this morning as she's has chest congestion, Lord. We lift her up to you, Father, that there would be a miraculous healing. That she would not be plagued with this issue. That tomorrow before she steps foot on that plane, it would just be gone. And her body would feel fully revitalized and replenished. Lord, it says that when your Spirit is on us and in us, that our mortal bodies are quickened. So, Father, I ask that you would just bring health to her and to the rest of this team. Just a covering of protection would be over this team. That sickness and pain and all these things that want to attack on a mission would have no place and no authority. For you have been given all authority and power for your church, it says in your word. So, Father, we commit this team to you. And we send them as one body this morning, as one church, that as many we can reach very far. In your name, Lord, amen.
So, Father, we're delighted that as a congregation, we can send forth those who will take your word. Thank you for this team. Thank you for the sacrifices they've made. Thank you, Lord, for the desire to serve you. And Lord, we pray for Alan, and thank you for his ministry. Thank you for the gifts that you've put within him. Thank you for his leadership. And so we ask that you'll give him wisdom and guidance and strength and health, and be to him all that he needs as he leads the team. And we'll give you praise and glory in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. We were saddened to hear of the passing of Jim Leach's father. Jim and Mary Gale are in Toronto at this time. And so I thought it'd be appropriate just before we begin, we'll just lift up the Leach family. And also Debbie Nicholson hasn't been well this week, just, and I think maybe has gone to the hospital this morning. So let's remember Debbie at this time as well. Father, we thank you that we can hold each other up in prayer. You have told us to do that. It pleases you when we do. And so we hold up to you Jim and Mary Gale and Mary Ann and Matthew and Mark and the family, just the whole family. Be near them. Comfort them. May they just experience your consolation, Lord Jesus, this time of bereavement. We pray, Father, for Debbie and ask for your hand of healing to be upon her. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just be to her what she needs. Lord, you know all about the illness, the sickness, and we pray that you would just reach out your hand and touch her and make her whole. We pray this in the strong name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I think it's very appropriate that we have a commissioning service before a baptism service. The gospel, the preaching of the gospel, reaches to the point of baptism, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But I'd like to talk to you about renouncing the old and embracing the new. And may I just again say that if you've come here and you've not thought about baptism, well, we always have clothes available for people to be baptized on the spot. So if we, after we've looked at some of these scriptures and the Lord has talked to you, or maybe you've given your life to the Lord in this service, well, we would gladly baptize you, and we'll have the clothes available to do that. But let's get on with the talking about baptism. I'd like you to notice the scripture, Mark 1:1-8. I think we have it on the overhead. Mark 1:1-8. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." And so John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." May God touch our minds that we might understand his word, and touch our hearts that his word will become part of our everyday life. This contains the message of John the Baptist. Notice it says the people of the region came to him confessing their sins, and then they were baptized by him. And so the message of John the Baptist was the need to confess our sinnerhood, the need to confess that we're sinners, the need to confess that we need Jesus. That's a confession. It begins with that, a confession of our need for Christ. And then there was repentance. That is a turning around, making an about turn from the life that we have just lived. An about turn from a life that had no use for Christ to a life in which Christ is the center of it. And that's repentance. It's a change of mind. It's an about turn. And that was John's message. And then following that, there was the baptism in water. You can't help but pick up the urgency of baptism when you read about it in the Bible. That there usually is no time span between giving your life to Jesus and then being baptized. Over and over again, the example is, once you believe on Jesus, you get baptized as soon as you possibly can. The urgency is there. Remember Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 with the Ethiopian treasurer. Remember, he's one in his chariot. The man from Ethiopia and Philip sees him and goes up to him, catches up with him and says, "Do you know what you read?" He saw him reading the Bible. And the Ethiopian treasurer says, "How can I understand unless somebody tells me what this means?" And so Philip, it says, at that point, explained to him Jesus. Pointed Jesus to him. And remember, the Ethiopian saw a body of water. And he says, "There's water. What hinders me to be baptized?" And so they stop the chariot, and into the water he goes, and he's baptized. Says he went on his way rejoicing. The same thing is pointed out in Acts chapter 16. Remember the Paul and Silas in the prison? Earthquake happens, the gates fly open, the jailer is about to commit suicide because that would be the penalty of losing his prisoners. But Paul says, "Don't do yourself any harm. The gates are all open, all right, but nobody has escaped." And so the you know, league has a way into the man's life to talk to him. And so the Philippian jailer ends up the conversation by saying, "What must I do? What must I do to be saved?" And Paul answers it and clearly, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your family." And then it tells you that that very same night, he and his family were baptized. There's an urgency to it. I read this about an event during just before the Second World War. In 1938, the Anglican Cathedral in Prague, Czechoslovakia, experienced something it had never experienced before, but had only dreamt about. Hundreds of people coming for baptism. Now, why in 1938? Because Hitler and his armies were about to invade Czechoslovakia, and word reached the Jews in Prague that a British passport was easier to obtain if you had an Anglican baptism certificate. And so they flocked to get the Anglican baptismal certificate in order to get out of the country. Now, getting baptized to get out of the country isn't the best motivation for baptism, but it does show you an urgency there. They knew they had to get out of Prague and out of Czechoslovakia, and so they did what they had to do that. Well, baptism is something like that. It's something like catching the urgency. I've lived my life to this point and I've never worshiped Jesus and I've never praised Jesus. I've hardly given any time to his word, the Bible. I've spent little or no time with his people. I need to get in there fast. And so I give my life to Jesus and I follow it by obeying him, by being baptized, and then I'm attached to the body, a body of Christ. So there's an urgency there. We must be willing to let go quickly of the old life. Because, one, baptism is saying that I'm finished with the old way of life. That's what baptism is saying. It's saying I am finished with the way that I used to live. The Christless life that I used to live has come to an end. And right now, I'm telling everybody, my life is going to have a new direction. The old is gone. Reason for that is the old way of life without Jesus is doomed. It's prison. It's torture. It's death. It offers no lasting purpose, a life without Christ. Bible tells us that everything outside of Christ will come under God's judgment. So there's good reason to leave the old life behind and quickly get into the new life. We must give up the old citizenship, for example. Read with me this passage from Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verses 17 to 21. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Notice, our citizenship is in heaven. We are citizens of another country. We are citizens of another realm once we give our lives to Jesus. Paul's comment, his focus, was on those whose eyes and whose life focused on earthly things. Their life was wrapped up with earthly things, and Paul says, that's getting the citizenships mixed up. We have to be the best citizens in two worlds. Do our best to be a good citizen here and never forget that we need to be a good citizen of heaven. Just showing in word and deed what heaven stands for and what the values and the virtues are that bespeak heaven. We must give up then the trappings of the old life. Language. We give our lives to Jesus. There are some words that we never speak again. There are at least some words that we do our best not to speak again. We give up the language of the world. I remember being in ministry with a pastor some years ago. He was at Picture Butte and we were in a team ministry. But he loved the Lord. He was from the States, had served in the military in Vietnam. But after coming out of the army, he came back and he found the Lord and he loved the Lord. But and joking around and fooling around from time to time, he would forget and out of his mouth would come some words that were just very uncharacteristic, and he'd feel so badly. He'd feel so badly because his language had been awful before he gave his life to Jesus. But that's what we're talking about. In his case, there was great repentance and just sorrow for doing that. But it's part of the new life to give up the way we used to talk, whether it's cursing and swearing or whether it's stories or jokes that belong to the world, we give them up. We're going to take on the language of a new life. And so it affects our lifestyle. We then give up the trappings of the whole worldly lifestyle, its desires, its goals. We begin to live for Jesus. Read with me Colossians 3, 1 to 11. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Notice again the plain, blunt words. We die to a life that had no use for Jesus. And we then enter into a life that Jesus is the center and is the Lord. And our whole plans and our whole language and purposes in life are focused on Him. A Christ-centered life. Let me also say that baptism then is the confession, the public confession of entering this new way of life. In baptism, that's what we're proclaiming. We're proclaiming that from now on, we belong to Jesus, and we're going to live a life that's centered on Him. A new way of life that is then Christ-centered, not me-centered. Paul tells us in this passage that the old self is gone, taken off the old self, and the new self is put on. It's heaven-oriented and not earth-oriented. That daily we think of what our citizenship is, what the purpose of life is. I think it begins with just simply saying, before we head to work or before we head to school or college or university, Lord, I give you my day. Lord, guide me, lead me, help me. It's just simply being that heavenly oriented. Be with me, Lord. Help me to be a good witness for you. It's love motivated and not selfishly motivated. Motivated by love. And we take seriously then the words of Jesus, not only to love our friends, but to love our enemies. To love those who would despitefully use us. That's the new life we're talking about. Those are the values of heaven. Not just loving people who are easy to love, but to love those who are not easy to love. And to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul goes on in that passage, and scholars believe that Colossians was are included in Colossians are the instructions for baptismal candidates that in the early church that was used for that purpose. So let's read verse 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. a new lifestyle, a new citizenship, a turning from one to embracing wholeheartedly the other. And notice that it not only talks about the negative things to die to, it has the positive things that we replace them with, because Christianity never leaves us in a vacuum where we stop doing this and stop doing the other thing. It always has a positive side to it. We negate something, we embrace something else. And so Paul puts it down here to live a life of love over all these. Put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Before that, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion. God's people are to be compassionate, caring, with kindness. God's people are to be kind people. With humility, God's people are to be humble, to put others in front of ourselves. If we want to win anybody to Christ, that's an elementary lesson. Gentleness. God's people are to be gentle. We don't need to be anything else because it's God that does the work. We can afford to be gentle because it's the Holy Spirit that converts, and it's the Holy Spirit that does the work of building the kingdom. So we don't need to be aggressive. We can be gentle, knowing that the Lord will do the work. And patience is the other one. God's people are to be patient and wait on the Lord. So let me then conclude by saying baptism is the outward expression of our faith, our belief in, our trust in God's power to give us new life. Baptism, we're confessing that. This is a new life that I'm entering into. And I know that I'm not going to be able to do it in my strength. That it'll be the work of God's Spirit that will enable me. The Spirit comes upon you. He will give you the ability to be witnesses. And so we proclaim that, in that Jesus died. And so we're being buried in the water, identifying with Jesus. He was crucified, buried. And so when we give our lives to Jesus, we're saying we're crucifying the old life and we're identifying with Jesus and going under the water. And then we identify with the new life when we come up out of the water. That's resurrection life. The resurrected life of Jesus then becomes part of our inheritance, and we live for Him. Let me just finish the teaching of Paul in Colossians 2:6-12. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted, built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of God lives. All the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. In accepting Jesus and embracing Jesus, we enter into the realm of God. Christ is the key. Do you want to experience God? Then know Jesus. Do you want to know what God's life is like, or what his nature is like, and what he would like you to live like? Then consider Christ. Christ is the key. Let's pray together. Ask Joe if he would come and lead us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for your word. If we bow in just this moment of silence, I just sort of sense that there's one, perhaps more, people who have come into the service this morning, you'd never really thought seriously about what we're talking about identifying with Christ in baptism, giving your life, your heart to him, saying, I need that. I need Christ. I want him to live in my life. The Bible teaches that that simply is a prayer from your heart. Just in your heart as you cry out to God for Christ. Bible says that God hears us. He hears a broken and a contrite heart, spirit. And so he will hear your cry to him. And he will make you a new creation, a new creature. So if you are doing that or have done that, we would gladly baptize you this morning. And if you just would want that, just go to the back of the church while we're preparing for baptism, and someone there will direct you to a room. Pastor Marcia will be back there. And we'll gladly supply the clothes that you could witness to Christ today. So Father, thank you. Thank you for the many here today who, if given the opportunity, gladly say, Jesus changed my life immeasurably for the better. Thank you, Lord, that we can look back and remember those times when we first came to you, and you come into our hearts and you come into our lives. And we want to thank you. But we pray, Father, for others today that have not experienced that. We pray that this would be the day, this would be the moment that they'd leave this place a new creation in Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' strong and mighty name. Amen. We're just going to... You're ready? Great. That's... Well, I've asked you if we could sing. Is that okay, Joe, to sing "I've Decided to Follow Jesus"? Is that okay? I'm going to ask you to stand and sing a sort of a traditional chorus here.
Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. I've decided, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
We're just going to invite Aaron to come forward. Is Aaron in the house? Are you going to wear shoes?
No.
Okay. Oh, it's warm. Come on in. The water's great. Just before we get Aaron to share a testimony and stuff, we're totally serious if you want to get baptized today. Okay? We have little pink dresses you can wear, and I'm just kidding. But we do have clothes you can wear. So if this is something you want to do, we're not just doing it like some kind of courtesy call. We really mean it. And we don't look at it as just a flash in the pan either. We'll stand with you afterwards and we'll walk with you. So you can just be thinking about that as Aaron shares her story.
Thank you. Well, I'm going on the Philippines trip tomorrow, so Alan phoned me last night, actually, and asked me if I wanted to get baptized today, and I wasn't expecting to be doing it, so this is kind of sudden for me. I'll start off by kind of sharing that I did live in Lethbridge. I just moved back to Calgary about 2 months ago because I've been struggling with anorexia and bulimia. So I've been up there trying to get better and get treatment, and this is sort of washing it away. Like, everybody I've talked to has told me that this has basically been me carrying my cross, and now it's kind of funny, here I am to die and be born again. So I guess I'll start off with how I kind of got to where I was. I grew up in a Catholic church, and then I stopped going, and when I was about 12 was when I started to have my eating disorder, and that was sort of the trigger to all my problems, so it's sort of funny that it's the last thing I'm still struggling with. I stopped eating, and then I would go through binge and purge phases, and I felt God pursuing me so many times, and I just turned my back to him every single time and walked the other way because it was easier and it was scary to give all these things of control up in my life. And I have this thing where I try to fix everybody I meet, like, and I've come to realize I can't really do that. But I met somebody when I was in the seventh grade, so I would have been about 14, and he'd come from a very broken home, and I wanted to do everything I could to be there for him. I actually ended up getting sexually abused by him and his friend, and then that ended up with me falling very, very deeply into a depression. The depression sort of just made my eating disorder worse, and when you have an eating disorder, you're depressed in the first place. I started to cut myself when I was about 14, and at one point in time had myself completely bandaged from head to toe. Managed to keep it from most people, but then when I was in about the ninth grade, I started spending time with some friends who, they all went to a church, and they were trying to get me to go to their youth group. I went a couple of times, and I felt God, like, tugging on me and being like, come on, stay here. But then my best friend killed himself, and I was the last person to talk to him. So I blamed myself for that a lot and ended up falling back into this very deep depression. Something somebody said at my home church was that even when you were at the very, very bottom of everything and you feel like nobody is with you, God's still there. And it's so true, because when you have nothing left is when he reveals himself to you the most. I wanted to read Psalm 51, actually, because this has sort of been my prayer over the past couple months, and it hasn't really struck home as much as it has today. David says, Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in the truth of inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach your transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, my mouth will declare your praise, for you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. Sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. I was at a point in my life where I had taken an entire bottle of pills, drank a bottle of wine, and wanted everything just to end. I had hit the very last straw, and it was in that moment that God really revealed himself to me. I was lying there in bed, like, just trying to sleep and trying not to think of what everybody would feel like the next day when they found me. And I heard him say, "What are you doing? Like, what are you doing?" And being a 15-year-old kid, I'm like, "Oh, I don't know what's going on." But ended up being like, "I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing." And he's like, "I'm right here. Love me. Like, I love you. Just come to me and be with me, and I will be faithful to you. No matter how unfaithful you are, I am faithful." And it was the one time in my life where I was like, "What do I do? Like, it's too late." And he's like, no, it's not too late. Like, and it was this one moment in my life where I realized that I was bulimic. So it's the only time that ever was a blessing, and I managed to wake up in the morning. From then on, I continued to struggle, though. When I was in grade 10, I met a guy who was my first boyfriend, and again, I wanted to fix him. He came from a very broken home, and he was an alcoholic. He actually got me very much into drinking, and again, I became very, very depressed. We ended up breaking up, and about 6 months later, there was a party at my house, and he ended up actually raping me. So from that experience, I again fell away from God, and just, it's so funny, in the moments where you should just run to him, we always turn away. And I again became very depressed and very dependent on alcohol and on painkillers and cutting myself. And for 2 years after that, I was in a really, really bad place. And then I moved back to Calgary on a whim, and met an incredible group of friends, some of the boys from Kairos. I'm sure some of you know who I'm talking about. And they got me going to church again. And it was this beautiful moment one morning where I woke up and I realized, again, I had absolutely nothing. Like, I had nothing. And I was like, what am I doing here? Like, I want to go to church. I feel tugged to go to church. Like, I need solid fellowship. I need people who I love in my life and who love me. And so I started going to this church, and I met this amazing group of friends who just shared with me and helped me repent. And I remember standing in my first service and just bawling and being so thankful that even though I turned away so many times, he was still with me the whole time and never let me go. Then there was a moment last year where I fully gave up everything to Jesus. I was at a music festival called Cornerstone in Illinois, and watching David Crowder play, and he sung the song "All I Can Say," and I felt everything in me sort of bubble up, all the stuff I'd pushed down and hadn't really ever given up to God. And basically the lyrics of the song say that no matter how much we say, God, why aren't you here with me? He is there and he is holding you and he's crying with you through everything that you're going through. So we're walking back to our campsite and my friend's like, so I feel like I should be talking to you about giving up your burdens. Like, oh, awesome. And so we ended up having this huge talk where I broke down and shared everything that had happened. It took about 7 hours and he told me, well, it's great that you could tell me this, but you need to give this to God. Like, this isn't yours anymore. You need to realize, like, you don't have to look any further than the cross to see your salvation. So I went to bed and I woke up in the morning and I'd slept in and everybody had left me. And I ran to the Anchor Ministry tent, which is where they had church every morning. And they were doing the Book of Revelation and I just caught the tail end of it before closing prayer. And Pastor Joshua was about to close in prayer and he says, hold on. I feel like there's somebody with us today who is really struggling with giving up their burdens. I'm like, oh God. So I kind of start tearing up and, you know, there's the whole, oh, it's not me, it's not me. And, trying to do a little of this. And then, he ends up saying, no, there's a girl with us today and she struggled with, a rape, sexual abuse, alcohol, cutting herself, suicide attempts, like lists off everything. Like, oh, glad you know my heart. And he says, hold out your hands and just give God these burdens. Like, these are not yours anymore. And I'm sure there are many of you with us today who need to do that. So many people are there, hands outstretched, giving God their burdens. And myself included, I was on my knees. It's very obvious that I was the guy, that was the girl he was talking about. And people are praying over me. And I stood up and I felt new. Like, I felt clean and I felt fresh and I felt like a child again. Like, I had this beautiful outlook on everything and there was no bad in the world to me in that moment. Everything served God's purpose in some way. But the one thing I've just never been able to really give up is this eating disorder. And this past couple of weeks has been really hard knowing I'm going to be going to another continent and preaching the gospel to people, which is really what I want to be doing. I know it's God's plan for me to be going there. And I know that this right now is part of his plan for me to be going there too. I believe that in being baptized right now, I could just give this up. He could take it away from me and I could be healed of it. So that's what I'm hoping and praying for right now. Everybody I've talked to in the past couple weeks has said, Aaron, sometimes the only thing between you and your destination is God. And it's because he's not done working in you yet. And you need to remember that he is not done working in you what he wants to yet. And now I feel like I'm coming to this crossroads where I could choose to be baptized and give everything to him, or I could again turn my back from him, and that's really not an option. So yeah, that's why I'm here.
Thank you. Thanks for being honest with us, trusting us. And I love the gospel because it's real. It's not some fake story. It's real. And the best part of this is about to happen. Like what Pastor Bill read today in Colossians about baptism. Like the old life is dead. Our gospel is not a gospel that invites you to a salvific insurance policy. Our gospel is one that gives you eternal life and washes away your sins, but gives you answers every day with the help of the Holy Spirit to overcome these things. Amen? And the most tragic misconception about the gospel is that it ends at that prayer, that first prayer. And the gospel will continue in your life day after day after day. Remember this day. We will stand with you in this today. So why don't we pray together over this part of her life that she's asking and begging for healing and believe for victory day by day in this. Okay? Would you stand here and Bill and I will pray for you. Father, we just lift Aaron up to you today. We stand together as one. Almost as if we stand and link arms in this as your body today with you. Believing in the justification that you've performed over her. Believing in the washing of sins that you've cleansed her with, Lord. And Father, we celebrate that today with this public symbol of baptism. That as she goes under that water, her body and her soul and her mind and her heart and her spirit are washed clean of the things of this world that hold and torture and cling on to as those things are separated from us today. They are separated from Aaron today. And any day after today that they come back and they taunt and plead for a place in her life, she can say, all authority and power has been given to Christ in my life. That I am a new creation. I have been washed in the blood. That he is my answer today. That you have no place in my life. Because I have been given to another. I have been given wholly to another. And he is the head over me. He is my authority. He holds the power over me. And I give you no room in my life today. That is the power of the gospel. So Lord, we stand on the promises of your word. We stand and proclaim those promises over Aaron today. As a body, as your people that you have chosen. Lord, we stand with her today. Why don't you just stand with me and reach your hands out to her. Lord, we stand with Aaron today and we lay hold of these promises that you have given. By faith, we take hold of these promises. Lord, that these things are broken. And that you have plans and purpose and calling over Aaron. To accomplish in this life, to no longer be held by chains. But to run the race, to run free, to dance before you in this freedom. The freedom of the gospel. We proclaim this over her today and we stand with her. We stand with her. We join our faith together and believe in the power of your blood and your Holy Spirit. In your name, Lord, amen. So Lord, today, you can just hold your arms up on your chest. I'm so excited for you. I'm as excited for you as I was for me. So, with the public declaration of your faith, do you believe and take Jesus Christ as your Savior today?
Yes.
So in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we baptize you. Congratulations. Oh, I wiped tears with a wet arm. So just one last chance. Well, not last chance, but today, right now. If there's anyone that desires that, like that is the best explanation of the gospel. So if there's anyone who desires that today, please. It's better to be wet for a couple hours than not have this. So we just wanted to open it up one last time. Come on up, bro. Do you want a different change of clothes? Are you sure? Okay. Yeah, maybe we can just get them. Marcia, do we have extra clothes? Okay. Can we just get them some of those for after so you can change into them? Okay. And just a pink dress would be great. Just get it. Well, why don't you share with us where you're at?
Well, I've been a Christian for about 4 years now. And I was baptized, like, probably when I was two. But no one in my family had really any connections with God. And I just really don't feel like that was authentic. And these past few months, I was attending an Alpha course. And we got on the topic of baptism. And my mother had been baptized last year during the summer, and the Alpha minister, he was just telling me, like, well, we can do this right now. I'll get you over here and we can just put some water on your head. But I just didn't quite feel like that was at the right moment. And today I could just feel God and me pulling and overwhelmingly telling me to just get up here and give my life to him officially, make it public, and stop hiding and be active in helping to proclaim his ministry. And I want to do that today.
What's your name? Alex? I'm Ryan. So this is Alex, and like, if you ever want to meet people, this is a great place to just meet people. So I'm just excited for you, bro. Okay, why don't you come stand here? I'm gonna ask you a couple questions. Yeah, you're a little bit tall. We don't want to hit you. So do you believe that Jesus Christ has died for your sins and is the answer?
I do.
So today, we got to ask these because we want to make sure he's totally sure. We don't want to pressure you into anything today. But are you totally sure that this is what you want to do?
I'm completely sure.
Okay, let's do it. Why don't you cross your arms up here? So in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, we baptize you today. And Lord, we just stand with Alex today, believing the same victory over his life that we believe for Aaron's and for each one of us in this room, Lord. We believe this victory over his life, that his sin has been washed, that he has been justified before your throne. And Lord, that your healing power will work its way through his life, that he is now holy and will be made holy as each day goes on, being sanctified by you, Lord. And Lord, I just want to say that it's a great honor to be in ministry. All of us to share in this, in the ministry of your Holy Spirit and just, and your blood. We're just honored to see people walk in this. So thank you, Lord, for this. So thank you for Alex. And today as a body, we baptize him in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Isn't this awesome? It's a good way to do church. The other thing, it's just important for us as a family now for these guys. Follow them up. If you ever see that guy in the mall, you give him the biggest hug. So he is freaked out going, who is hugging me? And you're like, I'm from your church. And he's excited because he knows that he's not in it alone. So, is there anyone else? Come on up, bro. Now, I know that there's been some people that have walked very closely with this guy. So, is there anyone that wants to jump in and help baptize him? That's walked with him? Is there anyone you want to pick? Just pick him. Make him come in here. Okay, come on in. I just know that, like, Amy and a few other youth have really walked closely with him. And we've just seen an awesome journey in his life, so I'll let you tell him all about it. So just introduce yourself and your story.
All right, my name's Jody, and yeah, the water's okay. I've been a Christian for, I don't know, quite a few years. I haven't been an active Christian until the last year or two. I've had a pretty rough life. I don't know, the last 4 or 5 years coming has been a pretty tough road. But I met Amy here about a year ago, and she brought me to this church, and I couldn't be any more thankful. Like, I've never felt the presence of God as much here as anywhere else, and the reason why I'm doing this is I really want to proclaim my faith to God, and I really want to, like, declare it among the public and everything. And another reason is I really want to grow as close to God as possible, and it's just an amazing feeling that I get from him, so let's do it up.
Well, I've had the privilege of kind of getting to know Jody a little bit through the youth group, so yeah, just his heart, he has this deep hunger for the Lord, and it is just astounding. Since the time he's come in, he's just stood out. He's just so amazing, and I'm just so proud. I'm just so thankful, and we've just had a couple heart-to-hearts, and yeah, and he needs us as a body. We all need to be in this together. And I think that's what's so important. That's part of what's brought him here is us functioning as the body of Christ should be. And so thank you for that. So yeah, let's just pray for Jody. Hallelujah. God, you are so amazing, Lord. I thank you. God, I thank you so much for Jody, Lord. And for how you stirred in his heart a deep passion for your word, Lord. A deep hunger for more of you, God. And so, God, I just ask that you would just fill him with the knowledge of who you are, Lord. And then in this instant, God, just as Jesus was being baptized, that your spirit would just come on him like a dove, Lord. And that he would know who you are, God. And Father, I just ask that you would just help him to understand that he has been completely justified because you are in him, Lord. Nothing he has ever done or ever will do can separate him from your love, God. Completely justified. And so Father, continue to sanctify him, Lord, as you fill him with your spirit and as he walks day in, day out with you, Lord, that you just continue to sanctify him, God, just to set him free from those things of the flesh that just kind of feel like they keep him back. Because we know that you have more power and authority than those things. They've been defeated. They were defeated when Christ conquered death. And so God, we thank you so much for Jody, Lord. Just continue to woo him, God, to draw him near to you, Lord. And enable us as a body just to support him in this, God, to be with him, God. God, I thank you so much for him. Amen.
So Jody, before everyone here today, I'm just going to keep crafting how I do baptisms with my questions, so don't mind me. Do you agree that you are a sinner in need of a Savior?
Yeah, I do. Okay.
Do you believe Jesus Christ to be that answer? That he has washed you in his blood and you are justified before the Father?
Oh, yes.
All right. Let's do this, folks. So in the confession of your faith, or just put your cross your arms up there. We baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Welcome to the family, bro. Okay. Hey, kids, what's up? Okay, we only do it if you want to, like we don't make people. No, you don't get to swim. So, is there anyone else? Okay. Why don't we dismiss service? I don't know the benediction, so I'm going to ask Pastor Bill to do it.
Why don't we stand and have closing prayer? Yeah. Yes. Let's do another round of applause to the Lord. That's wonderful. So Father, thank you again that we have witnessed something that has happened in every generation since the Lord Jesus died and rose again. People who publicly said they belonged to him and they wanted to follow him with their whole heart, and that was their intention. So thank you again that we have witnessed it once again, your love and your grace and your power. And so now, Lord, we ask that you'd go with us. May your peace and your love and your grace go with each and all of us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.